hampered by the growing fire inside the wreckage. As we continue removing debris, the smoke has been picking up, he said, during a briefing that took place amid thunder and torrential rain. No smouldering fire, but obviously producing a large amount of smoke. The biggest thing here is hope. That's what's driving us right now, to continue our search and rescue efforts. It's an extremely difficult situation, he said. Search teams from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and elsewhere arrived on Friday, 25th of June, to help relieve the Miami-Dade rescuers who have been working non-stop since the collapse at 1:30 a.m. in the early hours of Thursday morning. Giant cranes lifted larger sections of debris, while chains of workers removed smaller chunks in buckets. President Joe Biden signed a disaster declaration on Friday, 25th of June, that sent federal resources and funding to Florida after the state's governor, Ron DeSantis, approved a similar declaration the day before. Governor DeSantis was questioned on Saturday about evacuating the Fallen Towers sister building. Ultimately, the mayor's gonna have to make the call on that, he said. Given the similarities, given the same age, they think that may be something. About 100 relatives of the missing waited nearby for news, some growing frustrated. It's day three, so I feel like we need to understand how the process is going, said Rachel Spiegel, whose mother, 66-year-old Judy Spiegel, lived on the sixth floor of the building. I really do believe everybody's doing everything in their power, but there are family members. Time is of the essence. Others were losing hope. Jean Ugarte feared a tragic end for her friends Juan and Ana Mora and their son Juan Jr. I know they're not going to find them, she said. It's been too long.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, and I'm Atar, the host of this program. We have two guest speakers in today's discussion, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Nahwi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother. And Brother Ali Alavian, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me here.
So regarding the main features of the hegemonic powers in today's world and the challenges that they are facing, for today's discussion we want to get a very important topic which was also tackled by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the Supreme Leader of Iran, and that is the challenges that the hegemonic powers have regarding the Islamic values in today's world. That's all right. So, Brother Ali Alavian, for this episode and this discussion, let's start with you, brother. We talked about the Islamic system of values in our previous discussion. Now, I really want you to enumerate some other values which are present in the world of Islam, and maybe the hegemonic powers feel these values. That's why they do not. They want to suffocate it. I mean, in terms of the concept, thematically speaking, or do not let the Muslim lands to revive it. I mean, to let the people return to the pure exact meaning of that kind of value. What are those values, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam Muhammad and his purified progeny. Thank you very much for this opportunity that you are actually giving us. And we have talked about earlier in our previous show about the concept of pure Muhammadan Islam, that Islam world is slowly actually paying attention to this concept and important notion in Islam. And they want to, inshallah, be back towards the true and pure Muhammadan teachings from Islamic point of view. And it has its blessings, inshallah. The blessings of it is showing itself. And
right.
Alhamdulillah, Imam Khomeini, the late Imam Khomeini was, I think, in the contemporary era, was among the leading figures that started to ask the whole world towards this concept. The next point that actually needs to be discussed, I think, is Islamic unity and convergence. And this is what they are really afraid of. And all these tricks and, let's say, plots that they are playing in the Islam world is to actually disunite Islamic Ummah and actually spread discrepancies among the Muslims and Islamic denominations. And we, unfortunately, as Muslims, are not aware of these plots very clearly and vividly. So we need to even focus on this concept. When we are talking about Islamic unity, we do not mean to change the beliefs of people. We are not going to, for example, change a Shia to become a Sunni or a Sunni to become a Shia. No. People can keep their own beliefs and be Muslim and stay Muslim and focus on whatever they have in common. The commonality is actually word and speak here.
That's right.
So we are Muslims. We believe in one God. We believe in one Qibla. And we believe in one Hajj. And we believe in one format of prayer. So these are not small things to actually neglect and ignore. The next
but,
point.
But we do not have.
So these are the things that I'm just enumerating, brother. Okay. We need to focus, inshallah, with.
We have to know that we have also a common enemy.
Very true. That's
okay.
It.
We have common God, and we have a common enemy too.
With the help of dear Sayyid, we shall focus and inshallah explain these points inshallah in details. The next point that we have problem, let's say, or the next challenge that we have with the hegemonic power or arrogant powers, is the concept of the state of Israel that we have problem with in Islam world. Alhamdulillah, in a large scale.
Yes.
In a larger scale, we have this, alhamdulillah, commonality that we are all with one voice to be against.
Not only Muslim lands, out of the Muslim
even
borders, they have problems.
So
with
we are
too.
Actually now, because we are talking about the challenges between Islam and the West.
Yes.
So I'm now concerned with whatever is going inside Islam.
But many Muslim lands are quiet, brother.
Inshallah, we shall discuss that. Let me first give an overview of what the discussion is going to be. Then, inshallah, one by one, we shall go and
the
explain.
Cancerous tumor of Israel. Of course,
true.
The Zionist Israel.
Exactly.
Okay.
The next thing that actually we also mentioned and actually just pinpointed in our previous session is Islam's rationalism and the belief of Islam and the religion of Islam on the discourse-based discussions. Islam is
dialogue-based
discussions.
Discourses.
Dialogue-based discourses.
That's right.
And this is what shows the difference between followers of Islam and others.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we are نحن أبناء الدليل. We are the people who actually look at the words. If they are good, we take it. If they are bad, we reject it and throw it to the wall.
And they fear that.
And
they fear dialogue, you know, because in dialogue we follow rationality, and they know that they will not be successful. That's why they say, okay, do not dialogue or conversation or something like that.
Mm.
Even they do not let the people in, for example, you know, in some of the countries, you know, to have conversation and chats between the Muslims and the others, because they know that they'll be affected.
This is the danger of this dialogue for them, that they do not let Muslims to have these discussions among themselves, first. Second, they try to promote extremist groups, and they defend and support that.
Yes.
Because in extremism, you cannot ask the other person, come and sit together.
Kill.
The only language that they understand is killing.
ISIS.
See? when they are backing ISIS, this is targeting this very important point, which is inside the Islamic
Ummah. There's no place for dialogue in ISIS discourse.
Very true.
Okay.
And so this chaos that comes from these extremist groups is actually targeting, as I said, this rationalism which exists in Islamic Ummah and Islamic world. So these are the crucial and important challenges that we have with arrogant powers and hegemonic
power.
Thank
so you
we
very
need
much.
To, inshallah, discuss
inshallah.
Them one by one.
Said Mohsen, can you add to the list something else? You know, about these values, can you add to the East that the West has problem with? For example, do you think that the West has problem with hijab, the problem with prayer and salat and Hajj pilgrimage, and all these things?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well,
rituals, I'm talking about yes. Manasik and Sha'ir.
Let's make it simple, as Brother Ali has just mentioned, that anything that is against the, you know, the we can say like, which is against the values of the West, the Western power, when we say Western power, we mean like the oppressors. You know, in the West, there are like the Christians and there are the Jews as well. But they also like, you know, amongst them also we have people who are after justice, a true meaning of justice, who are following the Abrahamic religion in a true sense.
That's right.
The Zionist regime is not amongst the Jews because, you know, many Jews, they say like the Zionism is not the part of Jewish, you know, the religious teachings.
Yes.
Because according to them, they believe that they do not need to, or they should not own a land, because the whole land, wherever they want, they can move freely.
Yes.
Within the Christianity, we have the same thing. Within other religions, we have the same thing. The interfaith, you know, conversations.
Dialogues. That's
they
right.
have proved that the whole world can sit and they can have a dialogue, they can unite with each other, but obviously these powers, they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever there is anything which is against their thinking, against their, you know, which is weakening their power, they're against it. For example, if the whole world talks about justice, they're trying to oppress everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If the whole world says there shouldn't be any racism, you can see racism.
That's
clearly
right. Yes.
In these societies, in mm-hmm. the according to these powers.
See if, how much yes. see how much black girls are being trafficked.
Yes.
The name is white trafficking, I mean, yeah. but the black girls are being, unfortunately,
but actually the
from
black
the African
being,
countries, you know, yeah. for the porn industry, for the sexual things, for, I don't know, you know. And the sad news is that the age is getting lower and lower every
yes.
day. The sad news is also that from the Muslim lands, also these migrations are also happening to the Western ones.
So we
yeah.
need to basically stop this. And on the other hand, you can see that obviously these people they don't want
mm-hmm.
to you know, the values to be spread, which gives honor, respect, which gives dignity to the mankind.
Right.
For example, hijab. You take the
yes.
name of hijab. Hijab is something which gives dignity.
That's right.
Which gives respect to the woman,
mm-hmm.
independence to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the example, I think it was in the previous program, you gave the example of the gymnastic.
Yes, yes, the female German team of gymnastics. That's
gymnastic.
Right. Yes.
They covered their whole body.
Yes.
Why? Because they said, like, these people who are in the stadium, like, they're watching us as a sex toy, for
yes.
example.
As a
so
sexual thing.
They basically covered themselves.
Yes.
So this shows that human himself can understand the way others are thinking,
mm-hmm.
the way others are using them,
yes.
and they are trying to, you know, why the people in when they were in the old age in the jungles, they were covering themselves with the I don't know, leaves of the trees, and they have these clothes
based on the fitra.
Based on the fitra,
that's right.
Covering self.
Mm-hmm.
It protects us from the weather as well,
yes.
from the other things as well.
Okay.
And it also protects the society from
that's
getting
right.
deviated to different,
yes.
you know, unethical things. In today's world, if we see there are many unethical things, it's because of these values which are set on the name of freedom.
That's
by
right.
the Western power.
The you know, the thing is that when you look at some of the Muslim lands, you find them as a caricature. You know, for example, in terms of their food, they still use the same food as their forefathers did. But in terms of observing their hijab, they're very much similar to the Western world, in terms of their makeup too. So, and the sad news is that sometimes the value system, which is in the West, and it was abrogated, it was forbidden. So many laws and constitutions were written against them, are applied in the Muslim lands.
That's true.
For example, if a foreigner or if it, you know, a people in the U.S. in a bar has going to one mini glass of wine, no, you can find it in the bars of some of the, unfortunately, Muslim lands, you know, a bottle of wine is going, bottle by bottle. Or, for example, if under 18 cannot watch this and that movie and the rating is over there, now if this rating is going to be... I do want to say the value system has inserted into the culture. This is the sad news. And another sad news is that sometimes we forget completely that we can replace this value system with the good things that we have. But we take them for granted.
You know,
taking all of them for granted.
You know, the main issue is, the main thing, the main issue is we forgot something.
Yeah.
Which is very important, that in this world, there is an evil and there is a good.
Mm-hmm.
God has set a path for us.
Yes.
And that which deviates us from that path is evil.
That's right.
It's not the discussion of West and the Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a discussion between like West and East, Muslim and non-Muslim. It's not about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, are you being the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm. or the God or not?
That's right.
If you're following the evil, evil never wants you to have dignity, to have independence. It wants to make you the slave, either in the sense of, you know, either in the sense of, you know, we can say, being under the slavery of capital system,
that's right.
capitalism,
that's right,
or the secular system.
Okay.
So all these things are being, you know, brought by evil, and evil is doing its job the best way it can.
It was very kind of you, dear listeners. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. This series are produced by Brother Mahmoud. Please bring your comments and ideas. We can say on our email address, coi@irib.ir. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Do not forget to visit our website, parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank you with every breath I take. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Food for thought.
Dear friends, for your information, when a person asks Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, as to who are the best servants of God, the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir replied, "Those persons who, when they perform a good deed, become glad. When they commit a bad deed, they ask the forgiveness of Allah. When they are granted, they thank for it. When they are afflicted and grieved, they exercise patience. And when they get angry, they forgive the faults of others."
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish. The light.
An Australian scientist has mastered imitating and understanding numerous shrills, croaks, and whistles of frogs to locate them in the wild. 70-year-old biology professor and conservationist Michael Mahoney says he sometimes forgets to work because he has fun talking to frogs for a while, but the expert fears these same frogs are now more at risk of going quiet. He says their habitats should be examined to see what's wrong. Over the span of his career, Mahoney has described 15 new species of frogs, but has seen first-hand species being wiped out. Australia has about 240 species of frog, but around 30% of them are threatened in a variety of ways, including climate change, water pollution, and habitat loss. Walking around the city without shoes can be delightful. If you're interested in the experience, visit the Russian capital. A 3.5-kilometer long barefoot trail has recently opened in Moscow's Elk Island Park. It's made of various materials such as pine bark, beach pebbles, and clay. Taking around 40 minutes to complete, the path attracts hundreds of visitors every day. However, some people find it difficult to walk without shoes, calling the path a torture trail.
If you're a car lover, this story is for you. Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Perde. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is "Straight ahead to the past." The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the five-day rally. Jordanian woman is receiving high demands for the soaps she produces. Why? Because she uses an unusual ingredient. Lara Al-Titi makes soap out of camel milk. She tours different cities in Jordan to find the best camel farms for her business. Titi uses camel milk as the main ingredient for the soaps she produces. That's because she says it has rich benefits and contains more vitamins than cow's milk.
The first stage includes weighing the soap, and I include different kinds of oil to preserve the quality of the soap and its therapeutic benefit. We need to have high foam and tough consistency, and we don't want it to be rancid. We place high importance on the therapeutic material that we add during the production process.
Titi started her soap line at home using a manual process and then expanded it to an independent workshop. Her soap line has now become very popular in Jordan. Titi produces more than 4,000 soap bars a month. She sells them to both domestic and international customers.
The German firm's electric air taxi takes its first flight at a show in an airport near the French capital, Paris. Volocopter's flying taxi, which looks like a tiny helicopter, took off and landed vertically over the airport with no passenger on board during a three-minute trial. Aside from its two-passenger capacity, the aircraft also has some room for luggage. It flew a 500-meter route at speeds of up to 30 kilometers per hour and 30 meters high along the airfield. The flying taxi service would first be operated by a licensed pilot, but the flight would be fully automated over a period of time.
With respect to regulation, initially we will have a fully certified, fully licensed helicopter pilot, just to fit into existing regulation. But we believe over time it can be much simpler to obtain such an operating license for a volocopter. And of course, in the last instance, we want to take a pilot requirement out. We want these vehicles to fly fully automated. So you will not need a pilot license anymore. You can just summon the volocopter. It will come and pick you up and bring you safely to your destination.
The German firm is entering the urban mobility market with high hopes of playing a major role in the infant industry. Volocopter says its objective is to have a service in operation for 2024 for the 2024 Olympic Games. A zoo in Turkey has welcomed a baby elephant from an endangered species. The birth of a female calf at Izmir Wildlife Park has caused excitement in keepers and visitors. The calf, yet to be named, is the third offspring of parents from Asian species. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature classifies the Asian elephant as endangered due to their rapid decline in the wild. The Asian elephants are primarily threatened by poaching, fragmentation, and loss and degradation of habitat. Currently, around 20 to 40,000 Asian elephants are living across the world, five of which inhabiting Turkey's Izmir Zoo.
A Palestinian artist has come up with the idea of making children feel happy after the recent Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip left many people dead. Amna Sami is a young Palestinian artist who has gathered Palestinian kids in the city of Beit Lahia, north of Gaza. That's where houses were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes and bombings during the recent aggression on the territory. Sami draws the Palestinian flag as well as the map of Palestine on children's cheeks as patriotic symbols. She says she does that to say that these people in the midst of destruction will become strong again. Sami says by painting on kids' faces, she wants to send a message to the world.
I'm sending a message to the world that our children should live like other children in the world, away from danger and destruction. It is their right in life to live as children in a safe place, a place that gives them something to live a normal life.
Palestinian kids say they feel happy when Sami paints their faces. The Israeli regime launched this devastating onslaught on Gaza. In early May, at least 256 Palestinians, including 66 children, were killed during the 11-day war. A Turkish band has found musical inspiration in a most unlikely place, a local landfill. Here's more. Members of Funk Istanbul have assembled instruments from the dump in a junkyard in Istanbul. They use their ingenious new tools to play Turkish folk music. The band aims to raise awareness about recycling. Turkey is one of the biggest producers of municipal waste globally. The country has a low recycling rate. Only 12% of waste is repurposed there.
Technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Thron has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise, therefore it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Thron has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A video has gone viral showing animals at a U.S. zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pin. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. You might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital, Paris, is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. Bet everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open. Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars.
herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas. Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she's inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kayuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo. Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
Tuesday.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear friends, Salamu alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic to talk about is hardened hearts. Let's see what date is today. Today, Sunday, is the 16th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Zumar, verse 22nd.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Afaman sharaha Allahu sadrahu lil Islam fahuwa ala nurin min rabbih. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
So is one whose breast Allah has expanded to accept Islam, and he is upon a light from his Lord, like one whose heart rejects it? Then woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. Those are in manifest error.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
According to a report narrated by Ibn Mas'ud, the noble prophet of Islam was asked concerning the interpretation of the verse, in what manner man may attain to extension of mind. The noble prophet replied, when light penetrates into human heart, it broadens in extent and returns. He was again inquired regarding the tokens, therefore, to which he replied, the tokens include attentiveness toward the everlasting abode, separation from the abode of vanity, and preparation for welcoming death prior to its occurrence.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Hardened hearts. The heart is the place by which the correctness of deeds is judged. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family said, deeds are judged according to the intention. The place of the intention is not on the lips, it is in the heart. Our deeds, what we do externally, are judged ultimately by the states of our hearts. There are good deeds, evil deeds are evil. But these good deeds are in reference to those that we perceive to be a part and parcel of righteousness. Allah will inspect the hearts to determine whether they are truly acts of righteousness. So there is no other factually in the human body and existence that a believer should more concern about. We have to make sure that this faculty is functioning as Allah wishes it to function. We should be greatly concerned about it. The Prophet used to make dua often, beginning, "I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from knowledge that does not benefit, and from a heart which does not fear." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about ruthlessness or being hard-hearted. Among outstanding Muslim dignitaries and scholars, the late martyr Murtaza Mutahhari believes that there's no punishment more severe than being ruthless. And this ruthlessness isn't only an abominable moral trait for other people of the community who may experience it, from other people or from certain people. Rather, those people who become ruthless and very hard-hearted, they themselves experience many more problems, psychologically speaking, because someone who is ruthless, and doesn't help anybody else or does cruel things to other people, those people themselves, little by little, reach a very abominable state, in their own personality. There's a book, Al-Mahajjat al-Bayda, which is a book of moral teachings, written by the late Mullah Mohsin Feyz Kashani. Mullah Mohsin Feyz Kashani, as his name suggests, was originally from the city of Kashan, and he was a top-ranking Shia scholar, mainly in the field of Quranic studies, Quranic exegesis, and moral teachings. And his moral teachings were based on the religious instructions and injunctions as indicated in the Holy Quran and in the hadiths of the infallibles. In his book Al-Mahajjat al-Bayda, in his moral magnum opus Al-Mahajjat al-Bayda, he indicated that ruthlessness is one of the severe punishments that some people receive because of being ruthless to other people.
The signs of a heartened heart. One of the signs of a heartened heart is that it will commit evil doings and oppressions continuously. For oppression originates from the darkness in one's heart. As said, oppression comes from the darkness within a heart, because suppose that it takes the light of guidance, it surely would oversee the effect beforehand. Likewise, evil doing will lead to a new evil doing as a result of the past evils. Thus, it becomes a vicious cycle that will be hard to end and let go. These are some signs of a hardened heart due to committing sin and evil doing, so that we are all able to introspect ourselves and head into changes into a perfect dream human being. A heart's drought, a chest tightness, a shock and never-ending restlessness, and chaotic heart are all within a hardened heart. It will continue to suffer from a dry heart until it will become listless over everything.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your heart, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special with you and ways to soften a hard heart. Dua and dhikr, yes, one of the ways. The most important part of the process of softening of the heart is direct communication with Allah. It may be through dua or dhikr, or in salah, prayer. You have to feel that direct connection, feel it physically in your heart. It may not come immediately. If there has been a long gap since you last called your Lord, then it might take some time to re-establish that connection. So keep trying and it will come, inshallah.
Says, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to what? Refers to individuals whose heart have what? Have been sealed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the seal on their hearts. Khatamallahu ala qulubihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals their hearts. Likewise, Allah says in the Quran, balrana ala qulubihim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala places something, a cover, darkness over their hearts. Likewise, the Quran, we are told what? There is this element of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala making the heart somehow become less receptive. This is an indication that has been mentioned in the famous Munajat al-Ta'ibin by a holy fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. وَأَمَاتَ قَلْبِي عَظِيمُ جِنَايَتِي. This is where in Munajat al-Ta'ibin, one of the 15 whispered supplications which are sublime, no doubt about that. The Imam says, oh Allah, my heart, is speaking about the hearts of humanity, not his heart, but the hearts of people are what? Are becoming dead due to their sinning, due to the disobedience of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala.
As you listen to, we talked about hardened hearts on today's special. Inshallah, we decide to continue to talk about this topic, so please be with us on the next episode of today's special. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
Oh,
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.